Well, welcome to Prayer of Faith today. If you're visiting with us, if you are guests here today, we want to welcome you here. Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. What a great day this is. Before we get started, our text, we're going to be in John again. We're continuing on in the book of John. So if you want, you can turn to the book of John. We'll be in chapter 13 and 14 around in there today. Actually, chapter 12 is where we'll start. But before we get into that, just want to remind you again, Holy Week activity starts this Wednesday. We'll have our Wednesday night Bible study, Ground Zero King's Kids, 7 p.m. here at Prayer of Faith. Thursday, we'll have a Maundy Thursday event here at church, 7 o'clock. We try and keep it simple. Good Friday, this coming Friday, we have a Tenebrae service here, 7 p.m. So 7 o'clock, Wednesday through the end of time, you can just come here to church and have an activity. But we want to welcome you to all those events. Now, I want to give you a little reminder of the foot washing we're having Thursday night. It's a little different. We haven't done that ever or in the past. I don't know. Some of you have been through that at other churches. Some haven't. But the foot washing, it's a time of reflection, and we're going to do it as a time of reflection, a time of service to one another, a time of humbling ourselves. I don't want anyone coming here thinking, my feet are not good. If you want to wear socks on your feet and bring another pair to change into, that's fine. Ladies, if you wear hose to work and don't think, oh, I didn't think to bring something else, that's fine. I don't want anybody to not attend because they're worried about their feet, whether they're dirty, they've been working all day, didn't have a chance to go home and scrub. If their feet don't look pretty or whatever, don't look at mine. Okay, I'm the same way. I don't want anyone to hold back because of that. This is a service. It'll be dark out here. Not everyone is doing it. And we'll be in front of everyone, but it's not like everyone's going to have a spotlight on your feet. So I don't want that to be the focus. I want you to come Thursday evening for a very, very special time. We'll have communion, foot washing, and a devotional talking about the significance of that when Jesus did that to his disciples. So please come to that. It'll be a very intimate evening, as well as Friday evening will be an intimate evening also. And then Sunday morning, 7 a.m. If we barely made it today, we're probably going to struggle with the 7 a.m., but we are combining with the Midwest City Free Methodist Church and Heaven Bound Church. We're doing a sunrise service. The best thing I can tell you is over there where all those stores are in front of Tinker on Southeast 29th Street. If you know where the Ulta shop is it Ulta? Did I pronounce it right? The makeup shop? And I only know that because I sit in the car when Cindy goes in there. But located just west of that and just south of that, there's a big grassy area with a fountain and a sidewalk. That's where our sunrise service will be. It'll be open and be out there in all God's beauty. So please, if you can, attend that 7 a.m. service. And then we'll have a regular service here, 10:30 next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And then after that, we'll be having our meal here, as we always do, just a fantastic time of fun and fellowship with one another. So please remember those events. There's a flyer out in the hallway if you need to help you remember all those events. Now, with all that said, let's get into today's message. And I'm a little sore today. Yesterday, I did a lot of physical activity. And I didn't realize, but I'm not set up for physical activity. Okay, many of you may already have known that. Okay, I was out with Kayla at her bank and Cindy at her bank helping them pick up trash. You ever stop to bend down and pick up 500 pieces of trash, but you bend over 1,000 times because it keeps blowing in the wind as you're trying to chase it down. So I wasn't set up for physical labor, as I found out. I did that, and then I went to my mother's and I used a chainsaw and was doing physical work at her house. It about killed me. You know, yes, I did 20 minutes worth of work and 30 minutes worth of rest. 20 minutes worth of work, 30 minutes worth of rest. My twin brother's out there saying, come on, it's time to go on. So sometimes people know things long before you know it. My wife could have told you long ago, I'm not up for physical work because I don't do much of it. But me, it was just kind of a realization lately. Now, there's other people, they know things long before other people know it. And today's story is all about that. And Jesus knew things long before other people knew it. And we've been talking about stories the last several weeks, what Jesus knew and what he was telling people. And they didn't understand. But Jesus knew it long before they knew it. And even when Jesus told them, they forgot about it. So let's turn in our Bibles today to John chapter 12. And as you're turning to John chapter 12, last week we read about Lazarus. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and we talked about the stench of sin, and sin is in our lives, and sin, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus comes into our life even though we're in sin. He went into the tomb where Lazarus was 4 days, and the stench of that, and Jesus walked right in it. And I told you guys that he walks right in our lives into our stench of our sin, and he can pull us out of that. And when he went into the tomb, he told Lazarus, he said, he came out in his death clothes, and he said, loose him, let him go. And he's saying the same thing today for our sin. Loose them and let them go. Loose me and let me go. And we talked about the woman from Samaria a couple weeks ago, and I thought it was interesting in these stories when the Samaritan woman said, where is this? She said, Lord, where is he? And he says, the one that you seek, I am he. And the blind man, I thought it was very interesting, and I had my notes last week and left it out for some reason. But the blind man last week, it said when he went in there and went into the religious leaders, and they said, who did this? He said, I already told you, Jesus Christ did this. And they cast him out of the church when he said, do you want to be one of his disciples also? And it just irritated them to no end. So they cast him out of the church. Jesus went and sought him out. And I thought that was fascinating when Jesus goes out there to find him. And after he had opened his eyes, then Jesus went to him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? And the blind man that now can see said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and it is he who you are talking to. Can you imagine in all that, looking for the King of Kings and Jesus to the woman from Samaria, the man that was blind, and Jesus said, man, I'm he. And I've been telling you as we've been studying these different stories in John that we also walk around and go, Jesus, where are you in my life? And Jesus to this day is still saying, the one that you seek, he is here, and I am he. But I thought, like the blind man believed. He had faith. He had faith with his eyes closed. And so many times we just have faith to what we can see. I don't see anything happening in my life, Jesus. Therefore, you must not exist. Jesus, I don't see anything but heartache and trouble in my life. Lord, I have seen disease in my life. I have seen death in my life. I have seen poverty in my life. I've seen hunger. I've seen divorce. I've seen horrible things happen to those around me. Certainly you can't exist. But he does. And in John chapter 12, the 12th verse, we read, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees. They took branches of palm trees. And they went out to meet him and they cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And can you imagine him coming in on a donkey? And those people just waving those branches. If you've got a branch near you, would you just grab it and pick it up and just hold it up? You don't have to wave it, but you can if you want. Some of you will wave them, find out that half the leaves fell off. That's okay. That's what's all down the center aisle. And could you imagine Jesus walking in and seeing this coming down the aisle? And then yet others taking their coats off. And if it feels good, keep waving. Go ahead and put those down. And then taking their coats off and laying their coats down for him. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it was written. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Hold, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. And his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then the aha moment. They said, oh, I now remember. Then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. But listen to this. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. And my question today is, have you gone after him? Have we truly gone after him? They're scared to death. Oh my gosh, these people are following Jesus. But it almost seems to turn these days. Oh my gosh, I'm following Jesus. It's as though we're afraid to proclaim we're following Jesus. Not that others will say it. We have a lot of ground to cover today. Because this was a glorious day. His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When the woman from Samaria went back and told all the people what Jesus had said and what he had done. And about the living water, it says, many believed because of her testimony. The blind man, people believed because of his testimony. And therefore, they sought to kill Lazarus. Going back to verse 11, it says, because on account of him being Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. And they weren't going to have that. They proclaimed the Messiah is coming. And when he came, they missed it. They missed the boat when he came. Surely this can't be him. We see and we hear all these signs and all these wonders. But not this guy. I don't know if he was unclean, unshaved, long hair, raggedy clothes. I don't know what they were expecting. But they expected more than a Savior born in a manger, riding in on a donkey. Because that's what they did. They adorned themselves with those big fancy clothes. Today, as part of the world, have we gone after him? Or are we a lot like the disciples? They spent 3 years with him. We're a week away from his death. They can't remember things they were taught. Then when things get really tough, they start disappearing. He said, by the way, I need you to stay awake and pray with me. Out like a light, sleeping. And when Jesus had come into town, it doesn't cover it in John, but we go into Matthew and the other books, and it talks about him going into the temple and the anger that he felt because of the injustice that was going on there in the temple. And he said, what in the world is going on in here? And he flips the tables of the money changers. And he chases them out of there. This humble man came in and then starts flipping up the temple, and then says, I will tear this down and rebuild it in 3 days. And they didn't get that. One of the greatest things that we can do as Christians, I believe, is to walk in the light of Jesus Christ, to be Christ-like in our words, be Christ-like in our activities. In John 12, 44, he says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he goes down in verse 47, says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And he covers these things. And just before that, he said in verse 35, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. And it says, Jesus spoke these things and departed and were hidden from him. And we go on in that next week to talk about many activities. And he spoke many parables. And then it came to the evening when he gathered the disciples together. And I won't go into detail about that because we're going to talk about that Thursday evening. And he invited them there and instituted the Lord's Supper. But it says Jesus identified his betrayer while he was there. And in verse 18 of John 13, verse 18 says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, that you may believe that I am he. And again, he's telling the disciples, that which was written about me. So he's just telling them ahead of time. And of course, they're confused at this point. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. It says Jesus had said these things. He was troubled in his spirit. And he said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples, perplexed, looked at one another, wondering who in the world is he talking about. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered and said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And it says, having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. And I thought as I studied for this and I read this over and over, I thought, here's a disciple. Here's someone taking communion with Jesus Christ. We take communion to remember Jesus Christ, this do in remembrance of me. And Jesus is sitting there with his disciples doing this. And Satan entered one of them. The day we think we're safe from Satan ever entering our life, our body, our spirit, we can't let our guard down. Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Can you imagine sitting around a group and Jesus is in the midst of you and looks over at one of you and says, by the way, what you do, do quickly. Oh, great. Jesus gave him a special mission. That's what they thought. Jesus knew otherwise. So in verse 31 of John 13, he says, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you.'" This is the moment where Jesus gave that new command. New commandment. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When we don't have love for one another, or it disappears in a moment, others question us. They question us and aren't sure. I don't know. They said they go to church. The politician down in Louisiana caught kissing the wife of his best friend. But when he went on into politics, religion and family, that was his little stronghold. And his friend, whose wife he was kissing, said, "You know, he's the least religious man I've ever met in my life." He threw that out there for politics and to have something to stand on to get votes. But he's the least religious man I know. He misunderstood when Jesus said, love one another, I guess. And we're talking about a godly love. And we can make fun of that, but man, God is saying, love one another. Love one another. We're so quick. You know, I was going back and still just rereading what I'd spoke about a couple weeks ago. And I was going back to last week, or a couple weeks ago, with the blind man. And the Pharisee said, "Wait a minute. You were born into sin. You were born blind. And now you think you're going to teach us?" And I thought, how many times would we do that? Wait a minute. You came into the church and you came from this background. You did this and that. Oh, you were in prison, went to jail. I'm sorry, committed a crime, worked in this industry, smoked this, did that, took that, drank this. And now you're going to teach us? I'm sorry, you're going to teach our children? You're going to do this? And we have something to protect our children against and our people against. Remember the guy that was out killing Christians that became one? And I thought, man, Eric's been talking on Wednesday night Bible studies about judging and different people, and that just keeps coming to mind. I went to a great night of worship Thursday night with Anna and Spencer. And they said I'd bring it up, and I will. There was a young lady leading worship. And she gave a testimony about how she was 15. And she sang and she just prayed to God, said, "God, man, just use me. Give me an opening." And all kinds of doors were opened up. And she said, "I was leading worship everywhere. Then I turned 16 and was pregnant." So for the next 10 minutes, I couldn't focus on anything but that phrase. And I thought something was missing there. Because I thought she prayed to God to use her, and God opened all these doors and was using her. But something was still missing in her commitment to where she wound up pregnant. But by the grace of God, and then I guess she found that missing piece, because God is using her to lead worship. Beautiful family. But I thought again, how many times do we judge We're looking for Jesus Christ and we're dismissing people left and right that are getting in our way. And did we slow down to say, did I share Jesus with any of them? Did I love them as Jesus loved me? Did I accept them with the same acceptance that Jesus Christ accepted me? And then we just start getting uncomfortable. We start moving and twitching in our seats. And I thought, but that was Jesus. And that's the Christ-like attitude we should be pursuing every day. Every one of us has a story, has a background, has something. It may not be horrible, but we have a background or a history of something. And because of Jesus Christ, he says, guess what? I can use you. And I can use you. And I can use you. And he can use every one of us. Why? Because he's Jesus. And God is God. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We go on a little bit further. Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him. Jesus' disciple. And Jesus says, by the way, you're going to deny me. No way, not me. Not once, not twice, but the man that walked side by side for the last 3 years will deny him 3 times. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Phrase mentioned a lot of times at funerals. It's the same thing. As he goes to prepare a place for us, that's where we will be reunited with our loved ones that also knew him. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now flip over to John chapter 18. We're almost done. You see, there's a lot of things that happened in this week. We come in and say, hey, there's a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And then we come back next week and say, man, he was crucified, but he lives. But we forgot all this stuff in the middle. We forgot all the stuff he went through for us. John chapter 18, verse 1. Well, let's just skip down to verse 4. And here come the guards. Judas is coming down with them, leading the way. In verse 4 it says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, remember this familiar phrase, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And the other familiar phrase, Jesus said, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said this to them, I am he, they drew back and fell on the ground. Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said again, I'm looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And it's the same answer. I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. So again, we have people seeking Jesus Christ, and he's standing there right in front of them. He says, hey, I am he. And without getting into the scripture part of it, Jesus said, by the way, why did you come with all these guys? This would be like Eric coming in with the cops. And I'm standing here on Sunday morning and go, who are you looking for? We're looking for Adam Dilley. Oh, I am he. The cop's falling down. I say, who are you looking for? Adam Dilley. Why'd you bring all these guys? I'm here every Sunday. You never came to me on the Sundays before. You knew where I was. He said, I'm in the middle of teaching, and you guys never came in here looking for me. You never grabbed me then. Why do you come like this? But he said, here I am right in front of you. Now, in closing, a couple questions. The Pharisees said, there goes the world after him. Being part of the world, are we chasing after him? Are we pursuing Jesus Christ? Or are we waiting for him to pursue us? Are we waiting for that great job to fall in our lap? Or are we doing what we need to do to go out and get that great job? Are we waiting for money problems to be solved? One more crank of the handle. Lost another 20. Are we waiting for money problems to be solved with the lottery? With the casino? Or with just a big fat check that falls in our lap? Or have we quit blowing it on ridiculous stuff? How many times do you see people don't have two nickels to rub together? They get their income tax check, usually younger people, younger drivers especially, and all of a sudden their car's got the newest, greatest, I don't know what. It could be tinted windows. Hey, I got these spinner hubcaps. I got a new stereo. Hey, I tinted my windows. I got the bra for the front of my car. I've known people like that growing up, and I thought, you've got no money. You've got a family, and you went out and spent that on that? Or are we doing what it takes so that it can manifest itself? We're waiting for magic to happen, and God says, man, I'm just waiting for you to wake up. Remember what I said in the beginning? Other people could see I'm not a physical guy. Just took me a while to figure out I'm not set up for physical labor, a whole lot of it at least. And Jesus said, man, everybody else sees it but you. And sometimes we're blind. Are we chasing after Jesus? Are we pursuing him? Now, I'd be in bad shape if I didn't remind you guys, when they drugged Jesus and they took him up in front of Pontius Pilate, and they said, well, what do you want me to do with this guy? And they shouted out, what? Somebody say it. Crucify him. Can you imagine? Man, you guys, everyone, pick up your palm branches again. Wave them up high. That's right. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Now throw them on the ground and scream out, crucify. Could you imagine that in less than a week's time? Hosanna, crucify him. My question today, when God comes down and shakes that fence, what side are you going to be on? What side of the fence will you be on when God shakes the fence and says, oh, by the way, that which you read about, heard about, and I know you thought you'd live another 500 years, but I've come today for you. I am he. What side of the fence are you going to be on? I thought I'd have more time to make it right. I thought I'd have more time to forgive someone. I thought I'd have more time to ask someone to forgive me. I thought I'd have more time to stop doing what I'm doing. And prayer of faith, it's time. It's time to be serious about pursuing Jesus. It's time to be serious about opening this thing. I said a week or two ago, some people thought, he just keeps reading to us. And I thought, some people, that's more reading than they've heard in a long time of the Bible because they haven't opened it. We have to get serious about opening this thing and understanding it. I'm not talking about going, there's a phrase in here somewhere that fits my situation. Yeah, Jesus said, whatever. We want it to fit our situation. Yeah, look at the whole setting of that. Because that's not what Jesus meant, and that's not how it was interpreted. We have to be serious about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And what happened this week to Him is a cost that we can never repay. They screamed out at the end of His triumphant entry a couple days later after they beat Him. And they screamed out, "Crucify Him." And they hung Him on a cross, nailed there, put a crown made out of thorns and jammed it on His head, took a spear and jabbed it in His side. And they left Him there. Says, then He delivered Jesus to them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led Him away. And the title they put on the cross was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but let us cast lots to see whose it shall be." That the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And the soldiers did these things. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, today we give You glory. We give You honor today. God, in areas of our life where we have failed to pursue You, where we have failed to change our lifestyle, our character flaws. God, give us strength to do that. Give us strength to do that today, Lord. Today, God is calling you to Him. He's calling you to His family. If you're here today with your head bowed and you just want to know more about this Jesus Christ, you don't have a relationship and you want to know more about it, would you just raise your hand if you're here today? I don't want to skip today if there's somebody in here that needs a relationship with Jesus Christ that hasn't experienced that. All right. Today, if you're here today and just say, "I have not pursued Jesus Christ like I should, and He's calling me to a deeper relationship with Him," would you raise your hand? And don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. Where you have failed to pursue Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand today? I believe there's probably more than three people in here. And I'm just praying that God gives you boldness. I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand one more time because I believe God says the area you're not pursuing me in is honesty. Would you raise your hand today if you're not pursuing Jesus Christ in every area you should be? Thank you, thank you. God just hit me and said, Adam, don't forget to raise your hand. God, I pray for these people with their hands raised, Lord. Those that just still can't get to that point of raising their hand, Lord, you know who they are. Would you just continue to work in their life? God, please draw this church. Draw this church to be a church that welcomes everybody. Let us be careful who we select as leaders. Let us be careful who we select as teachers. But God, let us welcome everybody and let us give everybody a chance. Lord, we want to be a success story at Prayer of Faith, where people came in broken and lost and became whole and found. God, this week, would you remind us to be a people that love one another as you've loved us. Would you guide our words that we speak to one another, guide our actions. God, guide the way we treat one another, those we know, those we don't know. On the highways, in the hallways, in the office, in the schools, in the homes. Lord, I pray for our homes this week, the homes of our church body. Lord, that there's healing in the homes, that there's peace in the homes. Lord, where there's unrest, where there's anger, where there's disappointment, where the enemy invades the homes. Lord, would you show yourself strong this week in those homes? Would you make homes complete and whole? Lord, as we go out this week, remind us of this Sunday and next Sunday especially, Lord, as the resurrection of our Savior. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.